The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it was written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During this time of Advent, our gospel readings we have several different readings about the story of John and who John was. This morning, we actually have two references to John in our scripture readings. The first one was actually the psalm for today, which also came out of Luke's gospel. That song that was read today was from John's father, Zechariah. If you remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the angel had come and told Zechariah that he would have a son and to call his name John, and that John would be the forerunner of the Savior. But Zechariah questioned that, and as a result of that questioning, of not believing, that Zechariah could speak no more words. He went dumb. He could not speak. And so after John was born, and on the eighth day, his day of circumcision, when they had taken him in, these are the words that Zechariah spoke, giving praise to God that God is finally bringing the Savior into the world, and also thanking God that his son is a part of that, to be that forerunner of the Savior. And in today's gospel lesson then too, we hear once again about John. And this time, John is emphasizing the baptism of repentance. Now usually when we hear the word repentance, we're thinking of the time during Lent. Lent is that time of repentance as we prepare for the great Easter event, to look at our lives and our direction that we are going and to repent. It's a time of fasting, a time of emptying ourselves of all the things that get in the way of following Christ. But in Advent, we also hear that same theme, to repent, to turn around, to change, to turn back to God. Now, John and his ministry pretty well focused in that area around the River Jordan. And it was out in the wilderness, but John was such a powerful preacher that people would come from all over to hear him. They would come from the cities. They would come from the villages. They would come from the countryside. And they would all come to hear John because he had a unique message. And it sounded like a very sincere message, like God was actually speaking through him. People were ready for a Savior. And John was saying, get ready for the Savior who is coming. He is coming soon. And people listened to that. And people believed the message that he had to say. And so then John would be baptizing them with a baptism of repentance. What it was, he would take them into the river and he would perform a Jewish ritual rite of cleansing in that baptism. Now, John's baptism was a bit different from our baptism or from the Christian baptism, though. That was a Jewish rite of purification, preparing people to cleanse them of their sins. But the thing was that we know all the same that even though we are cleansed, we still go back into the world and we sin. And so for John's baptism, then, people would have to return periodically then to go through that ritual once again. For us Christians, baptism, we believe, is a once and done thing. It is in baptism that we are reborn into that kingdom of God. We are made new. We are made a child of God. We are born into God's kingdom. We receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive the promises that Christ says that we are forgiven of our sins and that we will inherit eternal life. Christian baptism is once and for all. But we know too that we continue to sin, that we are still sinners. Even though we have been made saints through Jesus Christ, we are still sinners. We still sin. And so each and every day, as we do our devotions, we repent of our sins that we have done. We are, as Martin Luther says, we are drowned through daily repentance in our baptism. And those promises are renewed once again. We are reminded that even though we are still sinners, that promise is still with us, that our sins are forgiven, and that we will receive eternal life. There's a bit of a misconception about what it means to repent. Repent is saying, yes, I am sorry for my sins sincerely. I am sorry that I have done these things or I have left these things undone. We begin our worship service. I have sinned by thought, word, and deed, by what I have done and by what I have left undone. And we sincerely repent of those things. We sincerely say, I am sorry of those things. And that is a part of repentance. But the other part of repentance means to change. The word repent actually means to turn around, to change directions, to turn away from that direction that's leading you into sin, to turn around and come back to God, to follow where Christ is leading us. So repent is not only saying I'm sorry, but it's also making that change to come back to God. And that's not always easy because we get stuck in the ways, in our ways, and in our thinking, and we just don't want to turn around. There was once a famous French preacher, and he would be invited to go to many different parishes. And as he would speak, people knew that he was coming, and they would fill the churches. People would be standing in the aisles. They'd be looking through the windows. People were even climbing up on top of the confession boxes. And when he wasn't preaching, though, he was a member of a small rural parish with a simple country priest. Someone asked him, why do you attend such a small church in such an out-of-the-way place? And the preacher replied that when I preach, people are piled up everywhere, on top of the confession boxes even. But when he preaches, people actually go into the confession boxes. His voice is meaningful. His voice is effective. What calls us into those confession boxes? You know, in the past, confession was a much more important part in the church, or it seemed more prominent part in the church, I should say. People would come during the week to either the priest or the pastor, and maybe some of you remember that as well then too. Either your parents or grandparents talked about it, that they, before Holy Communion that week, people would go see the pastor to announce that they were coming to Holy Communion, and that was an opportunity for them either to confess or to talk about some issues that they wanted to talk about with the pastor. And then they would be given absolution. Well, sometimes they were actually given some penance, either to say a lot of prayers or certain prayers or to do certain things. But people had a hard time finding time to do that, or finding just a hard time to do it because of all the distractions. So many of the churches actually had rooms set aside for that particular purpose, that you could go in there and get away from the distractions of the world and say your prayers, or to think about what it takes to turn back to God. And that room then became known as the penitentiary. And if you still go into some of the older churches, there is still rooms that are called the penitentiary in there. We are called into that place, a silent place, a place without distractions, to repent of our sins, to actually think, what have I done this week that I need to repent for? How can I change? And if you can't think of anything to repent of that fact, because we are all sinners. We need that time of repentance. But it's still hard to do. It's still hard to do. There was a doctor who made a house call on a sick wife. And as he came into the door, the husband was very concerned about his wife, and the doctor shooed him out of the room. And a few seconds later, the doctor came out and says, "Do you have a corkscrew?" And that kind of unnerved the husband, but he did as he was told and found a corkscrew. A few minutes later, the doctor came out again and says, "Do you have a screwdriver?" And the man made him even more nervous. But he did as he was told and found a screwdriver. A few minutes later, the doctor came back out of the room and says, "Do you have a chisel and hammer?" And this did it for the man. He says, "Doctor, what's wrong with my wife? What's going on with her?" And the doctor says, "I don't know yet. I can't get my bag open." For us to repent, sometimes it's like that. We need a chisel and a hammer to get that bag open. But once we get that bag open, what we do with repentance is empty everything out. Just completely empty out the baggage that we have. To repent, to let it go. Because that's exactly what Christ did for us. Christ emptied himself. He took off that mantle of glory. He took on humanity. He took on our hurts, our worries, our pain. He took on humanity. He became one of us and lived in this world. He suffered rejection. He suffered torment. He suffered ridicule. And he went so far as to completely empty himself of life. He suffered on the cross and died for our salvation. And in that emptiness then, he takes all that baggage that we have, all that stuff that clutters up our lives and gets in the way of worship of God, and he takes it on himself. He forgives us. We need to empty ourselves through repentance. Just give it to God. Give it to Christ. Let God take care of it. And God says, "Yes, my child, you are forgiven." During this time of Advent, we're kind of running at two different themes here. During this time, we are getting ready for that time of celebration of when Christ came into this world. When Christ was born, we're celebrating the things of the past, that God did send his Son into this world, the greatest gift. And we celebrate that with gift-giving to one another, with lights, with music, with song, with festivities, with parties, getting together with family, with friends. We celebrate that birth, that fact that he was born. And we remember that he was born in order to save us. We remember those events as well, of that death and of that resurrection. But Advent also runs another theme as well then too, and that is getting ready for the second coming of Christ. Just as the people of old waited and waited and waited for Christ, for that Messiah to come, we too are in that anticipation mode of getting ready for the second coming of Christ. We are living in that in-between time. Christ has come and Christ will come again. And we are in between that right now. And so during this Advent season, as we start to prepare to celebrate that birth of Christ, we are also preparing our hearts and our minds for that second coming of Christ. And we do that through repentance of changing direction, turning around, and following Christ always. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.